this was actually, if I'm not mistaken, I got this from a player, so I didn't get a chance to look it up. I believe this was the first senior day win in school history. Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome, as the people here in the studio are clapping. Appreciate you guys participating. Everybody else appreciates that as well. The run defense was dominant once again, as they were able to hold not just Brandon Burks, the top rusher for Troy. He's a good rusher. I mean, it held him to 54 yards, held Brandon Silvers, who's not much of a running quarterback, but held him to 15. Andre Flakes had 11, and Josh Anderson had 9. Yeah, they combined for, gosh, where's that number? 25 runs for 81 yards. This run defense led by Joseph Peterson and all the guys. Wow. Lights out. Which is going to be a big test. But we'll get into that in a minute. Things we wanted to go over. Things I wanted to tell you about. Glenn Smith ended up being our top rusher. He ended up with 87 yards and a rush touchdown on 19 carries. What a... Just, he's a super guy. He was at the press conference as well, where we asked him about the transition of moving from wide receiver to running back. He said he's played running back his entire life. He played a little bit of quarterback in high school because that's what was needed. He's one of those kind of players. He's so athletic that he goes where he's needed. He was needed at running back this year, and he's what's scary is all four running backs are sophomores or redshirt sophomores, so they're all going to be back, all four of them next year, including whoever else comes in recruit-wise. This is going to be a stacked running attack. This could be scary for anybody else. I'm already excited. And we're still playing this year, though. Like I said, Glenn had 19 carries for 87 yards. His longest was a 39-yard burst. He had a touchdown. Taz Bateman got in on it, 10 carries for 52 yards. Kyler Neal had 5 carries for 27 yards. I mean, these are 5 yards averages. This is phenomenal. Penny Hart even had a run for 4 yards. It helped set up a first down, I believe. It's awesome. Nick, 29 for 41. No interceptions. Yes. 368 yards. It's almost become normal. 2 touchdowns. He was sacked 3 times. They were not that big of hits, which is good. I don't want him sacked at all, but at the same time, hey, it is what it is. As I'll get into with some of the game notes here in a minute, Troy must have watched the tape from, I believe, South Alabama 2 weeks ago. They tried to keep everything in front of them for the most part, so Nick's longest one was 46 yards. My guess, that was to Robert Davis, not my guess. The fun part, as far as receiving, Donovan Harden, 4 catches, 53 yards. Penny Hart, 5 catches for 38 yards and a touchdown. Robert Davis also had a touchdown. He had 5 catches for 88 yards. But how about this? Keith Rucker. 10 catches. 154 yards, including a 39-yarder that he fought for. Here's a fun little tidbit. You want to know how much fun they were having at the end of this, or after this game? Nick Arbuckle, our leader, commander-in-chief on the field, ran, as soon as the game was over, he ran across the locker room, made sure to get a stat sheet, like I'm holding in front of me right here, so that he could look at Keith's yards and his stats. He knew Keith had a big day. He actually didn't have a career day, I believe. Ran over yelling, "Keith, Keith, Keith, Keith." And when Keith said, "Yeah, Nick," he said, "Look at your stats. 10 catches, 154 receiving yards." Can we get another? All right. You guys are awesome. Our studio audience in here is great. But Nick didn't want to. He didn't care that much about his stats. They got the W. That's what matters. But he also was so happy for his teammate. Man, that just tells you what kind of guys they are. And I asked Keith at the press conference, what do you do to calm down your quarterback in that situation when he's jumping up and down and yelling your name and all excited? And he said, you don't calm him down, you join in. That is the answer I wanted to hear. So congratulations to Keith, Nick, and Glenn for leading all the stats. far as defense, Caleb Ringer had seven tackles. So did Joe Pete. Jerome Smith was in on it. Bobby Baker. Every time you turn around, Bobby Baker's making a play, or Taris Batiste, or, I mean, I could go up and down this defense. I could name any of the kids that are out there. Kids, they're not kids. These guys are grown men. I can name any of the men out there, any of the Warriors out there, any of the Panther Warriors that are out there. I can name any of these guys, and they could be the hero of the day. It's just play after play after play. So much fun to watch. As far as scoring, I'm going to try to limit some of the game notes, because I really want to get into some Georgia State here in a second, and I want to get you out of here in time to prepare for the game. My bags are packed. I'm going to be in Statesboro. If you get a chance, if you see me at the game, or if you want to hit me up, hit me up. Well, I would love to meet you guys. Love to get some out-of-town photos. We'll put them up on the sites here and everything. And it's going to be fun, man. It's Statesboro. It's been a handful of years since I've been there. I'm not going to say how many, but it's been quite a few. And I had a pretty good time last time I was there. And I believe I won some. The group I was with won some awards. But that's a whole different thing. Whole different chapter. You guys have to read that book. As far as the scoring, Georgia State started off with a 12-yard pass from Arbuckle to Penny Hart for 12. That went for 7. That's 7-0. Troy answered right back. Teddy Rubin took a 58-yard pass from Brandon Silvers. Of course, that was their quarterback. 8 plays for both of those drives. That's 7-7 at that point, to which GSU remembered, oh yes, we're going to win this game. Must have read the script. Then Glenn Smith had a 39-yard run for a touchdown, made it 14-7. Lutz hit a 30-yard field goal, because of course he does. He really should have hit the other one he went for, but that's a whole different story. That made it 17-7. It was 24-7 after Nick hit Robert Davis for 46 yards. It says 24-7. It was 31-7 when Nick did a 1-yard run. I mean, if you're going to continue to give him yards, open the field, you're going to cover everybody, but forget to cover the quarterback, Nick's going to beat you every time, which I'm fine with. And, of course, Troy added a few tallies at the end to make it look good, to make it look close. It actually got pretty close. 31-14 after Brandon Burks did a 1-yard run. You know, wasn't able to keep him out of the end zone. Was able to keep him under 100 yards. Pretty happy about that. Then your final score, 31-21, after Jarvis Bentley caught a 17-yard pass from Brandon Silvers. Silvers, not a bad quarterback. You know, we played against some quarterbacks that have been a little up, a little down. Some a little better than others. Some, young, maybe haven't played a whole lot. Some in bad offenses, some in good offenses. And you can make any kind of excuse, any kind of thing, up and down, whatever it is. But, Nick's obviously my favorite out of the Sun Belt, probably in college, honestly, because he's a super guy. But, past Nick, Brandon Silvers is pretty good. There's a lot of other quarterbacks in this league that you're just like, you know what? The guy can play. Brandon Silvers, for my money, after Nick, of course, good guy. A few news and notes. See if we can get to some of them. Let's do some press conference stuff. At the press conference, I asked Coach that the team wore white jerseys, and once more they won in white jerseys. I said, who made that decision to wear white? And he said he listens to his seniors, and his seniors said they wanted to wear the white jerseys, so they wore the white jerseys. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But he also said it doesn't matter what color jerseys, what logos, what words, what helmets, what whatever. When these kids suit up, or these men suit up, they play with everything they got, and they play the way they play regardless of what it says on the front of the jersey, and or the back for that matter, which I think is awesome. I did ask him, how long do you enjoy the win before starting on Georgia Southern? He said, well, this game was on Friday. Then he would take Saturday to enjoy it a little bit, but more than likely when the games were over on Saturday night, because he did want to watch some college football, after the games were over on Saturday night, he was going to pop in the tapes, or probably discs at this point, either way, and probably late Saturday night into Sunday morning is when they would get their first looks. I would be willing to bet possibly before then. He might have even went home and watched the tape. Coaches ahead of the game like that. I did think it funny that when we brought up Chandon Sullivan, who has been the new shutdown corner in the Sun Belt. I mean, we're talking Darrell Revis. Like, you put him on somebody, and he's going to not only break up all the passes, he's probably going to catch all the interceptions. And it just—he's such a great addition to this secondary that is just unreal. Like I said, with Taurus Batiste and Bobby Baker and just everybody. But he actually called Chandon Sullivan a recruiting mistake. Before you get all up in arms, here's why he said he was a recruiting mistake. He goes, you look at Chandon and he doesn't really fit the scheme. He was a safety for a long time because that's what was needed. Of course, the emergence of Taurus and the addition of Bobby Baker this year allowed him to move back to corner, somewhere he's never played before. And it seems to not matter. Apparently, he's taken his skills and figured out how to translate them. Because, he's unreal. Absolutely unreal. And it's so much fun to watch this secondary. If you guys haven't got to see him live, you know, come to Statesboro this Saturday. Like I said, 2 o'clock start. Come watch this team. We had a handful of players. So, let me try to get to all the stuff that I remember. Like I said, we talked to Keith, the Rucker, the tight end, and I asked him about Nick celebrating the stats and everything. He thought that was great. He said this is, you know, he agrees with Nick that stats are stats, and they're really cool when you have big days and when you do stuff, but it's all about putting that W up, and this was a team win no matter what happened, and that's awesome. That's not just coaches speak or what you want to hear, but these players believe it. It's the truth. I asked Nick, we asked Nick about his takeaways from the last two seasons playing at the Dome. You know, it was asked about his legacy, and shout out to Woody Bass for asking about Nick's legacy, and he says along the lines of wanting to set up and do things the right way, and that this was team-oriented. He echoed what Rucker had said, and that he hoped that his legacy would be that they were, you know, building the foundation to something bigger and better. And I absolutely agree that they're doing that. You guys know that. I mean, look how many wins they're getting this year. This is unreal. And while we're speaking about my good friend Woody Bass, shout out once again. He wrote an article where he compared all the teams, didn't tell you which team was which. He actually named them all A through K, I think, or A through J. And all the teams in the Sun Belt, gave you a bunch of stats from different categories, and then made his case that Coach Trent Miles should be the Sun Belt Coach of the Year. I absolutely agree. Absolutely. In fact, I want to make sure I get my quote right about myself. About Trent Miles, but I actually posted up on Facebook and Twitter earlier where I said who should be named Sun Belt Coach of the Year by Peach State College Sports, and of course that was written by Woody Bass. Like I said, shout out again. I said when he names Trent Miles in there, I say he'd get my vote. He's a great leader, developer, and motivator. Gets results everywhere he goes. Trent Miles is the guy. I'm not just saying that because he's our coach. Because you know what I could do? I could easily say, well, let's do what other teams are doing. Let's dump our good coach who is getting us wins and doing things the right way, and let's go get this other guy who we're not sure what he's going to do. No. Trent Miles is the guy. Absolutely. Let's see. Who else did we talk to? We talked to Glenn Smith, of course, and I asked him about his what contributed to the evolution of this run defense. He said it's because, or no, wait, Glenn Smith. I asked Shawanye Lawrence what contributed to the evolution of this run defense. he said it's because it's like a family. It's like out there with your brothers. You stick up for your brothers. If one's having a down day, then you pick them up. If one's having a big day, then they're the ones to pick other people up. Something happens, and you know, you don't win a one-on-one matchup, and there's somebody there to help you out and that kind of stuff. And Chouanye was just awesome as well. Big defensive end, big junior defensive end. We're going to get him back next year. And then we asked Glenn Smith about, I asked him about what did he see out of the defense from Troy that allowed him to amass the yard total he did. And he said it was a lot of over-pursuing, a lot of over-pursuit, where they would go to rush and collapse the pocket, and they would run past him. So he would run through, it was able to allow him to have cutback lanes and able to pick up everything. So I thought that was pretty cool. And, of course, they always have the press conferences available on GeorgiaStateSports.com, as well as their Facebooks and Twitters. Now, let's get into a preview real quick of Georgia Southern. Like I said, that game is at Georgia Southern. That's in Statesboro. It is at 2 p.m. sharp Eastern Standard Time. People you need to look out for. They don't throw it a whole lot. They really don't. It's like an 87% chance they're going to run. So, the people you need to look out for. Matt Breida. He's a running back. He's a 5'11 junior out of Brookville, Florida. He actually went to Nature Coast Technical before he come here. He currently had 180 carries for 1,541 yards and 16 touchdowns. Wow. Yeah, you heard that right. And, of course, there's L.A. Ramsby. He's a 5'11 redshirt sophomore out of Cincinnati, Ohio, where he went to Coleraine High School. Ramsby has 138 carries for 731 yards and 11 scores. Wow. Can you tell they run a lot? They like to do a lot of option. You're going to see a lot of option. Except for, unlike Georgia Tech this year, they're going to be able to put, this is not a shot at Georgia Tech, but Georgia Southern has been able to pull this stuff off for a good many years. In fact, they almost beat Georgia earlier. They took them all the way to overtime. So this is going to be a fun game, especially given Georgia State's good run defense. Their big wide receivers have 3 touchdowns total. Their lead tacklers. I want to make sure I get everybody's name right. That always bugs me when people got mine wrong. I want to make sure. Let's see. That would be Antoine Williams. He's a 6'3 linebacker. He's a redshirt senior at Lovejoy. Man, why couldn't we get him too? He should have come play with us. He has 89 tackles. Ironhead Gallon. That's his actual name. He's a 5'11 linebacker, redshirt junior out of Madison, Florida. Sorry. He has 73 tackles. As far as your sacks, of course, Mr. Antoine Williams has 4. And Bernard Dawson has 4 as well. And your interception leader is Antonio Glover, who has 6. Pretty good defense. Pretty good defense. Basically, their strategy is to run, then they're going to run, then they're going to run, then they might pass, but they still might run. Get that. I'm going to repeat it. They like to run, then they like to run, then they like to run the ball again, then they might pass. They have 4 times as many rush yards than their opponent, but they have a third less passing yards. Or they have a third, so 2/3 less passing yards. They have over 4,000 yards rushing, I believe. That's crazy. This will actually be the 7th game in the 6 seasons that Georgia State has played organized football that they'll play on grass. They've actually been practicing on the soccer fields in order to get used to it, because we play on turf a lot of places we go. So that will be pretty interesting. I don't have what their record is in those 6 games so far, but I don't have much to worry about. I think we're going to be good. Things you need to know. safety Tarris Batiste was the student athlete of the week for Georgia State. Congratulations to him on that. He is fourth in the Sun Belt with 8.3 tackles per game. I think he's going to have a lot more in this one. But three keys to victory. You got to stop Breida. The run defense is on him to run the way he does. Rams. But Breida should be the focus. They have a pretty good pass defense, but I guarantee they haven't seen wide receiver core like we have, and Keith Rucker is going to be a nightmare in the middle of the field for them. And key number three, let's win the special teams battle. Will's going to hit all his field goals because we're going to set him up with good ones. When Will punts or kicks, we're going to make sure we don't give up any big run backs. And we're going to win this game. And we're going to be bowl eligible. We're going to be the fourth team because South Alabama is going to play against Appalachian State, and Appalachian State is going to win that game. So, for this week, not only are we fans of ourselves and fans of our team, Georgia State, but we are Appalachian State fans as well. But that's going to do it for me. Appreciate you guys dropping in to the Panther Zone here on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, like I said, we are presented by Impact Media, and I'm Jeremy the Impact York. If you're going to be in Statesboro, make sure to look me up. Appreciate you dropping by. We have some guests we may get on the next week or so. But until Saturday, we'll see you next time. Go Panthers!